These have been around for a couple of years. It's a set of kind of best practices for cybersecurity, and they were put together by a really wide-ranging consortium of folks across government and the private sector, you know, people who both understand the technology as well as the threat that we're facing and have insight into the attacks. And the idea was to tap into all that knowledge, identify a relatively small number of things that people ought to do that we believe that group believes have really high value in stopping those kinds of attacks that we're seeing every day. So there's a lot of kind of basics in there, but the real underlying notion is they have great value based upon the experience of the participants. So my job will be to take this kind of loose community service sort of a project, you know, bring together these folks, provide it just enough structure so that, you know, we can get it updated more regularly, help people who are trying to adopt it, you know, create use cases and working aids and things that people can use to more quickly escalate how they're going to use these things.
The 20 critical controls are in many ways the most simplistic, simple things people should do, such as, you know, updated patching or turning on the automated updates. But it's also more complicated than that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wide range of things from the very basics of, you know, when I worked at NSA, I always said if you're going to be a defender, you know, job one is visibility. You know, do you know what's on your network? Do you know how it's configured and so forth? So there's a number of things that have that kind of flavor to them, you know, early in the controls. And there's more advanced things for the more advanced. There's more complex things. And there's sort of what we call kind of the basics or fundamental things like good security engineering and so forth. So it really deals with a wide range of things. But the point I would want to emphasize is that, you know, we work in a really high-tech business. So people want to say things like, well, that's just the simple stuff. But, you know, having watched this business a long time, simple things can have tremendous defensive value in forcing the adversary into things they don't want to do, you know, money they don't want to spend and risks they don't want to take. So I wouldn't think of it as just the simple things, but as the basics that, based upon knowledge, these are things that we really believe folks ought to be doing.
Now, Tony, you're doing this with the SANS Institute. Is this a SANS initiative, or is SANS just kind of bringing people together?
It's the latter. You know, SANS has a great history of community, I would call them community service projects, things like the Internet Storm Center and things like that. So we wouldn't call it a SANS product, you know, because the labor, you know, the ideas and the content of the critical controls really comes from a very broad community of people across the private sector and government. The role that SANS plays, I will call it cat herder, you know, kind of provides a mechanism to draw all these opinions together, sort of mailing lists and, you know, an editor and a web presence and so forth. So SANS provides the means that allows the community to pull these ideas together.
Do you have a sense of how much federal agencies are adopting these 20 critical controls?
We're working closely with DHS, John Stroyford in particular, who's really latched on to the idea. And he's looking at this as a way to bring sort of large-scale improvement and order across all federal agencies. And he's supporting that by putting in place policies and contracting vehicles that would allow agencies to tap into that. So it's kind of a big thing. You know, we really feel good movement happening there. And John is most commonly known with something called continuous monitoring. You know, having good visibility and control of my network, continuous measurement and management of what's going on out there, looking for things that are either, you know, not configured the way I thought or that are out of spec. That notion has become really kind of one of the big themes now of IT security management across government, you know, John being the primary flag carrier for that. And so the critical controls line up very well because it gives a kind of a set of things I ought to measure against. You know, do I know where all my systems are? Do I know how they're configured? Do I detect when a new thing happens and so forth? So it provides a, you know, really nice kind of focus and complement. And when those original controls were developed, there was very much a focus on automation. You know, if we're going to put in place defense at scale, we're not going to get there by adding lots and lots more human beings, right? It's just not feasible. And so the goal is to get lots of visibility and leverage, you know, using technology and save the humans for more the understanding and the analytic part. So essentially all the controls were designed with a notion of, you know, what kind of standards, what kind of tools exist that would allow you to implement this with primarily technology and then let humans focus on the analytic part.
There's a lot of pressure on agencies to implement continuous monitoring. Are these controls something that will help them implement continuous monitoring, or are these just a piece of that bigger continuous monitoring puzzle?
It's a complementary piece. The notion is that the complement is it does help you implement that. It brings focus and priority to the things that are really worth measuring as part of your continuous monitoring program. You know, one of the reasons this notion of critical controls and a small number like 20 has really caught on, I think, is, you know, our business is like full of really, really long lists of things that you ought to do. Thousands of things and giant frameworks and, you know, all kinds of, you know, options and vendor tools and standards. And it, you know, what I found in my experience was that you can produce great security guidance and all these great things, but still, the customers I was trying to serve were just overwhelmed by the incredible number of options, right? And you have all these different compliance things and things you have to deal with. And so trying to get past the do-it-all to let's focus on a small number of things that we think have the highest value is a really important notion that DHS is very focused on and that we think is just a perfect fit. What the controls give you then is a way to say, well, you know, we got a lot of smart people together virtually. Have they thought about this? They have an understanding of the attacks, they know the technology, and they're choosing that this small set of things, not a thousand things, but a small set of things, are really, really important to defend yourself. It doesn't mean you don't do other things. It means let's focus first on this small number of things. And then this notion of continuous measuring or continuous monitoring is about, well, what things shall I look at that I think have the most value, that are most likely to indicate bad things are happening? And so
the other thing about this is agencies have had this in front of them. As you said, this is something that's being adopted by DHS for continuous monitoring, and also other agencies are starting to play into it. If you haven't, if you're an agency that maybe hasn't started down that path yet, or if you're a CIO who's familiar with it, but really, as you said, has so many things pulling at them, what should they keep in mind as they begin to look at these 20 critical controls?
One of the things that we're doing as part of this is trying to synchronize, you know, with other folks. So even 20 is like a lot to chew on the first step, right? So we're bringing more focus to a smaller number like 4 or 5 as the kind of must-do highest priority. We're synchronizing that with lots of folks like the Australians and the British governments and so forth. And it gives you kind of a natural starting point from which other things build. But if I were a federal agency, I'd also keep in mind at DHS, they are actively working on contract vehicles that would make it easier and funded for federal agencies to tap into the idea. And so that gives them an opportunity to kind of work with what they got. They don't need a new budget to do that. They need to take advantage of contracts that are in place. I'm finding lots of great stories of people that have already adopted it and are doing really neat things around the critical controls, kind of existing use cases, helping to write them down. You know, we'll provide a place to post them. And the idea is that others can learn from the experience of the ones that have already done this. So we're going to kind of build a library and a reference set and some working aids that will help people jump into this.